This is Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
Hello, hello. We're heading back to school today on Focus. When you're at school, if something went wrong, you know, you were getting bullied or perhaps there was an issue at home, who did you turn to? You know, when something happened in your little world and you just needed to talk it through with someone who wasn't a friend. Would you turn to a teacher, perhaps a school counsellor, maybe even a school chaplain? Given the tough year that 2020 has been, you might understand that a lot of students this year, even more so than any other year, are reaching out for help. But who should be offering that help? Who should be there in their corner, I suppose, providing that listening ear? The federal budget, the recent federal budget, earmarked $61.4 million over the next 4 years for the National School Chaplaincy Program. Now, some have welcomed that news, but others have described the allocation as wasteful, labelling the program as discriminatory and flawed. So that's what we're going to unpack on the program today. We know the support for young people is needed, but who should actually be giving that support?
This is Focus on ABC Radio Perth.
On the panel today, Dr. Mandy Sheen is a psychologist and a teacher working in the School of Education at Edith Cowan University here in Perth. She's worked across the landscape we're exploring today, so she can give a fascinating insight as a teacher, a primary school teacher, as a chaplain, and also as a school psychologist. She has done all of these different roles. I think that gives an amazing insight. And Jane Carrow is an author, a documentary maker, and a social commentator. She's also an ambassador at the National Secular Society. And since we're talking about chaplains, a little later on, I'll chat to a chaplain who works in a high school right here in Perth and has been doing that job for about 20 years, which is quite a feat, I say. When you're at school, Mandy, you know, who did you turn to? Were there school chaplains and psychologists back then?
I'd say back in the 70s, we didn't have school psychologists and we didn't have chaplains. So it probably wasn't until the 80s that we started to see the need for mental health support. And I've had chaplains and school psychologists as a teacher. So that's been awesome.
What about for you, Jane Carrow? Who was your support when you were back at school, back in the day?
Well, probably my parents and my friends, because I'm probably a similar vintage to Mandy, and we didn't have, I think we did have school counsellors, but I don't actually remember ever seeing them. I certainly never thought about going to one. We certainly didn't have chaplains. I went to a co-ed comprehensive secular high school in Sydney, and I don't even think we had scripture, frankly. So, my friends and my parents were who I talked to.
Times have changed a lot. I had scripture at primary school. I had a chaplain and a psychologist, the choice at high school. I didn't call on them, but I know that my friends did. And I'm sort of glad that we do have more support now for kids. The federal budget, as I just mentioned, allocated more than $60 million over 4 years to this National School Chaplaincy Program. Why do you think that program got funded, Mandy?
I think that school psychologists have a really great role in schools for really high-level problems, but there's nothing at that lower level. And young people today, what they're experiencing and what we experienced 20, 30 years ago, it's just a different world. And those low-level problems, a school psychologist does not have the right to go in and work through those, like, just friendship fights and, like, helping with hampers for parents and things like that. So that low level, being a trusted adult, caring adult, is necessary.
Why do you think they got that funding, this particular program, Jane Carrow?
Because there's far too much religion in our governments. And there's a belief, it was expressed by John Howard when he was Prime Minister and started this program, that public schools, because they're not overtly religious schools, are values neutral. which is an incredibly insulting thing to say to anyone who doesn't hold a religious belief, and also to the school system, which after all is the only school system which will accept every single student, regardless of who their parents are or whether they have any capacity to pay for their education. So there is an assumption that religious values are the only values, and that is nonsense.
11 minutes past 10. Thanks for your texts. Keep those coming. I want to know, when you're at school, who did you go to for support? Were there school psychs, counsellors? Nicole called to say she remembers having nurses. And she says the health department employ nurses at a lot of high schools to help students, mainly with mental health. And she said there's a lot of talented, highly trained nurses supporting students. Thanks, Nicole. 1300 222 720 if you want to have a chat about this. Roslyn in Cloverdale, thanks for yours. So she says, we're a secular society. It should be a psychologist or a social worker. Well, that's what we're going to get to the bottom of today. And I imagine we're not going to change people's views, but I think it's an important issue to actually take a closer look at, certainly. Does it come down to the funding then, though? You know, school chaplains, certainly a lot more affordable than a school psychologist, Mandy Sheen.
Yes, correct. You're looking at a very, like, I was getting $90 a day as a school chaplain, so not quite the same now. But the idea too is that, like, you can't, as a school psychologist, talk to the kids. So one day, like, I used to go out at recess and walk around, and a girl disclosed that she was being abused, but I don't have consent to talk to her. And so then I had to go backtrack and got in trouble by the parents because you need permission. So they don't have that same level of ability to go into the community and work like a psychologist would.
All right. Can you just explain that? Because I had no idea about that until today, and I would never have thought that was the case. So you're saying that, you know, you can't, as a counsellor, a school-based psychologist, you can't actually do a session with someone, have a chat with them, unless you've got parental permission.
Correct.
Why is that?
Well, like if, you know, you had children and suddenly the psychologist is starting an intervention with them, you'd want to know as a parent. And so you need to be, you know, over 16 to be able to give your own consent, and otherwise parents have to give consent. So a file gets started, but it's got to go through the parents first.
Fascinating. Now, Jane Caro, I know you have other reasons why you think these chaplains are in schools, but is money a factor as well in your mind?
It's another way in which our governments comprehensively starve public schools of the funds they need to do the work that they need to do. We know that we have that public schools have vastly more of the most disadvantaged and neediest kids, and yet they get the least amount of money to help support them. And the thing is that students can disclose to all sorts of people in schools, and in fact my daughter, my sister and my niece are all teachers in public schools, and all of them have been disclosed to by students. And I'm not sure what the rules are in WA, but I think the rules are different in New South Wales, because I'm certainly aware of students seeing school counsellors in New South Wales and talking about all sorts of things that their parents were not informed about, specifically because the counselling sessions were, of course, private and confidential. The rules may differ from state to state. I'm not clear on that.
That's the voice of Jane Caro. She is the ambassador at the National Secular Lobby. She's also an author, a documentary maker, a social commentator, and obviously not a fan of chaplains in schools. Mandy Sheen is also with me. She's a psychologist and a teacher working in the School of Education at Edith Cowan University. She's had some real insight into this because she's worked as a school teacher, a school chaplain, and a school psychologist. So she's filled all of these roles. We're having a look today because the federal budget recently gave $60 million over 4 years to the school chaplaincy program. Your views on this coming in thick and fast on the text line 0437 922 720 is that number. You can also call for a chat, 10:15, 1300 222 720. Jodie and Hillary's agree. She says the reason for the funding chaplains is not about religion. It comes down to dollars. Chaplains are cheap. Mandy, the National Secular Lobby suggests that the chaplaincy program is a waste, considering, as they say, the desperate need for qualified counsellors. How do you respond to that a chaplain is, in a sense, a poor man's counsellor?
It could be seen like that. But, you know, I'm a community psychologist, and one of the things with intervention is that people want to intervene and give therapy, and frequently it's not the actual need what you need is to change the setting, and so that parents feel supported, that teachers go to chaplains. Like, there's just somebody in that community helping improve that setting. So you stop pathologizing everyday stresses and making things like, you know, clinical when they're not actually a clinical situation. I don't want to create a file on a child because they had a fight with their friend when they could have just had a chat with someone and sorted it out.
Poor man's counsellor, Jane Caro?
Well, it is, yes, but of course not every child has to go to a counsellor because they've had a fight with a friend. I keep saying schools are full of qualified educators who develop relationships with students. In fact, you can only be a decent teacher if you can form decent relationships with your students. And they get all sorts of confidences that they never open files on, and that they certainly work with those kids to learn about emotional relationships and all that kind of things. I don't think we're in a situation where it's either a chaplain or it's a serious psychological intervention with a full file and everyone pushing panic buttons. Look, I don't have any problems with having youth workers in schools if the school community would see them as useful. And I don't care what the religious beliefs of the psychologists or the youth workers are, as long as they keep them to themselves. What I fundamentally object to in this whole chaplaincy program is that people who get to be chaplains in two states that may be different, I think Victoria and possibly Tasmania, but everywhere else, they have to be religiously based. That's absurd. You don't need to talk to a person of religion because you've had a fight with your friend. You can talk to any decent, warm-hearted, skilled person. And, of course, teachers are thoroughly skilled at dealing with and talking to young people. That's their job. It's almost more of their job than teaching English, maths and science, because you can't get any of those things through if you can't communicate to kids.
17 minutes past 10. Keep your texts coming in, 0437922720. Mandy, you know exactly how the WA setup is. What are the rules for WA chaplains? How does it work?
So just to clarify, for psychologists, according to our code of ethics, we have a different set of rules than everyone else, and so we do need consent. So chaplains in Western Australia are not meant to push religion. And, you know, in my position, I think it's wrong, and I agree with Jane, that anyone pushes their own beliefs. And had someone say to me the other day that they're an atheist and they'd like to be a chaplain and push their beliefs. And I said, well, you're in exactly the same thing. And I was like, you can't stop a psychologist, you can't stop a teacher, and I can't stop chaplains from pushing their religious beliefs. But I think the whole idea with having some religious background was meant to bring a spiritual side to young people, to acknowledge that. And I think possibly it's not the best vehicle at the moment, but, you know, psychology recognises that we are spiritual creatures. And so the idea was to nurture that and to make room, not to sell your own product.
Now, a couple of your texts. Sharon says, just because people don't believe in something, why do they deny others who may need it? Thank you. Jessica in Coogee texted to say, we have both a counsellor and a school psychologist at my son's school. As a Catholic school, we also have a school priest if the students are seeking spiritual guidance as part of seeking help. Thanks, Jessica. I asked how you got help at school, and Mal says, I relied on my own experience. Whether you are meek or mild or can stand your own ground, by informing the teacher will only inflame the situation. At boarding school in the 70s, you had to settle your own battles. If you react to verbal abuse, they will simply continue with it. If you learn to laugh at yourself, they'll find someone else to bully. And I do think a bit of humour is good in all situations. Up next, we'll find out a little bit more about the role that chaplains play on Focus, ABC Radio Perth. Elaborate for me then, the role that chaplains play in the school setting. It is very different, Mandy Sheen. You've done both roles, the chaplain, the school psychologist. Because people talk about it as a more of a pastoral role. Can you explain a little bit? And we'll hear from a practicing school chaplain shortly. But can you just explain a little more around the difference? How does a chaplain work?
Yeah, sure. So a chaplain is looking at general community needs. And so it might be things like attending school camp and being a listening ear. It might be going to sports day. One of my friends was a chaplain. She used to set up parenting nights, you know, not religious, just supporting parents. So the idea is to be a stable, supportive person in that community. One of the ones I had, Peter Jackson's a very well-known chaplain in Garawein Belga for many years, a Vietnam vet, and he used to support teachers and he used to run camps and he used to like do like values lessons and things. And so they're kind of just this person who doesn't have another role. And I agree that with Jane that teachers should be, you know, the ones with building the relationships. Absolutely. But I feel like sometimes as a teacher of 20-something years, we have too many roles. And while I build a relationship with them, I don't want to end up being their therapist over things. So having that person that they can go to is helpful.
Now, I think you just mentioned Peter, and I think we've got him on the line. Morning, Peter.
Oh, good morning, Jess.
What's your take on this? You were a teacher for 18 years?
Yeah, look, I was a teacher in Belga.
How's that for timing?
Brilliant. I was a teacher in Belga for 8 years. I had so many needy kids, but I was flat tack. I mean, I'd get to the school at 8 o'clock, I'd leave at 4, you know, putting stuff on the board, doing the preparation. As much as I loved the kids, which I did, I had virtually no time to spend, you know, with the child. I mean, I would do my best.
So does that mean, Peter, that you see a role for both in schools? The fact is that a kid getting support is a kid getting support?
Yeah, well, the kid needs support, but the teachers, I'm mainly talking about the teacher side, and I was a teacher, that the teachers are flat tack teaching. They haven't got the time, but they would love to do that, but they're just too busy. Whereas the chaplain, and I was a chaplain for 4.5 years at a school where Mandy was a teacher, and I've seen so many of the chaplains in action where they're basically just someone who provide a listening ear for the children with the problems. But as a primary teacher, as I said, that's the main point I want to bring out. I was too... My life as a teacher teaching the kids was so busy. I just didn't have a lot of time with the children, but the chaplains do.
Peter Jackson, thanks for the call. And you were just talking about him and then he rung in. So how's that for coincidence? Jane Carey, can you see any role for school chaplains, given what Peter Jackson just said, that, you know, teachers are overwhelmed and they can't provide that level of support because the problems that kids face these days are just so much bigger?
Well, we have to make up our mind, don't we? I mean, Mandy, you keep changing ground. Either we're talking about therapy, in which case I totally agree, the teachers are not the right people to be giving therapy, or we're talking about a kind and listening ear when a child has a fight with a friend. And I think teachers are perfectly capable of the one and are not the right people for the other. But apparently chaplains only do the one, not the other. So we can't, we've got to define our terms here. And if chaplains don't offer therapy, then the serious problems we're talking about are not the realms of chaplains. The problem is that religious people have particular views of the world. And those views include things, attitudes towards LGBTQI kids, towards gender orientation, to the role of women. I mean, I looked up some of the religiously based school self-esteem programs. Shine and Strength. Guess what Shine's for? Girls. They're meant to shine and be decorative. Strength is for boys. They're meant to be strong. Well, as a parent who deliberately sent my children, my daughters, to a secular school, I would have very strong objections to those kinds of labels being put on boys and girls in a co-ed school.
You've done both roles, Mandy Sheen, and that is one question I have. If a child came forward to speak to a chaplain in a high school and disclosed they were having sexuality issues and they couldn't raise that at home with their parents, which that is something that happens, how would a chaplain handle that, and can we assume that all chaplains will handle that in a way that stands with modern values where, gay marriage is now legal?
Yes. Well, I would think it would be unacceptable not to handle it that way. I think that, you know, getting anybody to leave their beliefs at the door is a challenging thing, no matter who you're talking to. But, you know, if a chaplain is in the position where they're going to judge someone for their experiences, and particularly if that young person's taken the courage to share them, they clearly do not deserve to be in that role.
Are there checks and balances on a chaplain in relation to that sort of stuff? So if a school found out that a chaplain was preaching in a certain way, a kid had come to them and talked about sexuality issues or something else, or pregnancy even, maybe that's even something that would happen, and the, you know, child, it then came out, how would that be handled by school? Is there any, you know, evidence of that ever happening?
Not that I know of, but there wouldn't be checks and balances for teachers or psychologists either.
Yeah, okay. Okay. How do you respond to that, Jane Caro? Does that confirm you, concern you that there may not be those? Are you at school right now, Jane Caro?
No, my grandchildren are in the next
even
room.
Even better. Sounds like fun. Well, I've got a psychologist here.
They're being typical.
We'll let you just go and sort that out.
No, I'm not sorting it out. I've just moved. My daughter's looking after it.
Good on you, Jane.
The point of what you're saying, though, is that's fine. In that case, they shouldn't be chaplains. The problem is that the religious orientation, the religious designation, makes a lot of kids, I dare say, extremely nervous, and so it should. You know, when women have fought for their rights, when LGBTQI people have fought for their rights, mostly what they've fought is religious beliefs and views and religious people. I don't have a problem with lovely people going into schools and being a listening ear. I do have a problem with them having to have a religious background before they're allowed to do it in a secular school. We have a whole lot of publicly funded religious schools already. Enough is enough. A lot of us want secular spaces for our children. And I think all these rationalisations miss the point. Oh, this is fine. Mandy should be great in a school, but not as a chaplain, as a youth worker.
That's the voice of Jane Caro, ambassador at the National Secular Lobby. We are talking today about chaplains in schools and whether that is the right support there. They do work in conjunction, really, with school psychologists. I might actually just... we have had a few texts on that, talking about presuming that they work together. And my recollection is that there is a lot of overlap here, that they do talk together when they're in these school settings, Mandy Sheen?
Yep. So I was at one primary school in the northern suburbs as a psychologist, and about 1,000 children. And again, like if you're a teacher and you've got 30 children, that's nice to be able to think you could listen to all of their problems, but it's not possible. And so the chaplain would talk to the kids and run games and things. And then if there was an issue, they would contact the parents, and then the process with me would start. So there was a lot of going to and fro, working as a social services team.
Plenty of texts. This one, hey, a Conservative government is about to spend $61 million on chaplains for government schools. These are Christian chaplains only. There's zero budget for all other religions, let alone agnostics and atheists. Someone saying Jane Caro is absolutely right. Jane, of course, one of our guests, the ambassador at National Secular Lobby, also well-known author and documentary maker. Kath on the text line says, totally wrong. Anglican chaplains accept all people regardless of gender, sexual orientation. She's just talking about the Catholic Church and needs to get her facts straight before commenting on radio. And I think that's in relation to what Jane was saying. Thanks, Kath.
You're with Jess on ABC Radio Perth. Focus.
We're talking about school chaplains this morning on Focus, and we thought, well, you can't have a discussion about chaplains without actually talking to one. Andrew Winton has been a chaplain for almost 20 years. He's a chaplain at Churchland Senior High School through not-for-profit organisation Youth Care, and he's been nice enough to join us while he's actually enjoying long service leave. Morning, Andrew. Tell us, what does a typical day as a school chaplain look like for you?
Well, a typical day for me, and it's different for different chaplains in different schools, but I work in a school that, you know, is starting to push numbers of 2,900 or 3,000. So
wow,
there's always someone waiting at your door to have a chat or wants help with something. So usually, you know, a student's waiting to have a chat with you that's been referred from a teacher or admin staff or the school psych or head of year. So there's a lot of there's never a dull moment. There's always one-on-one conversations, and then there's a couple of programs that we're involved with as well, whether they're run by one of the youth care chaplains or another member of staff. But you usually clock up quite a few conversations in any day, but every day seems different and it depends what crops up.
So what kind of things do crop up? What kind of issues do you navigate with these students?
Well, often it could be issues around something that's happened at school or something in their personal life or something at home. And, of course, these days conversation around mental health is quite prevalent. And often chaplains are on the front line and available and flexible to chat to students. And if they need further support or referral or following a process, we do that. But often, you know, it's just really keeping connections with students, and they just might want to come and talk about, you know, what happened on the weekend, and, you know, almost like they would with a mate.
I'm wondering, it's been a tough year for everyone, but I imagine COVID would have impacted you. But are there some trends in terms of the issues that you're seeing in young people? Have you noticed anything particularly this year? We hear so much about anxiety, but I'm wondering what have you noticed? Are there any trends?
Well, specifically this year, with the kind of year we've had with, you know, various lockdowns and et cetera, I think there's been a real onflow of stuff happening with families and with people's employment and situations, and often tensions that families and people are experiencing have been amplified through this particular year, and definitely with anxiety, you know, not knowing if mum or dad or whoever it is, caregiver, has a job or what the week's going to look like, you know, even for senior school students of, you know, am I still going to go to uni, and people that are doing ATAR, you know, exams, what's the point if this year's going like it is? So, you know, things, I've just found anything that was going on, any tension that was existing has been amplified during this COVID year.
If you're just tuning in, you're with Jess Strutt on Focus, ABC Radio Perth. Today we're taking a look at chaplains, the role they play in schools. Andrew Winton, who is a chaplain at Churchland Senior High School, is with me. He's been a chaplain for almost 20 years, so a long time, and he's explaining what the role involves. You mentioned before, Andrew, the programs that you run. You touched on the fact that there's a few different kinds. Can you elaborate there? What does that look like?
Yeah, well, we have programs that, like, for instance, we have a breakfast club that the youth care chaplains are involved with, and that's a great way just to, you know, for any students that don't get an opportunity to start the day with a brekkie. We do it on a Friday morning nice and early. And everyone kind of clambers in, and it's a great time just to have a chat and just to unwind before the day takes off.
Well, Andrew, I know the vital role that radio plays, the joys of working in a radio station. You've got your own. You started a radio station while the schools were in lockdown. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Oh, yeah, Radio COVID. yeah, at a period of time where it was a bit weird, where we had every staff member working but no students. And, of course, you know, I was there as the chaplain. And it was just a weird environment where staff were working but there were no students. And so we just kind of had this radio station going that was, you know, blasted out through every speaker. And I do music for a living, and occasionally I'd get on and do like a mini gig, and some people would play their own tunes or do a reading. And it was just a great way to keep morale up and to support many staff that felt quite unsure and, you know, quite exposed still in their workplace while their other mates were all working from home and in safety. So it was just a great way just to keep up some morale and support, and in some way youth care really were on the front foot before, you know, the COVID thing happened and the lockdowns happened, that there were protocols and services in places where the chaplains were on the front line.
Andrew Winton is with me. He's a school chaplain at Churchland Senior High School. He's telling us what the job's like, because on Focus today, ABC Radio Perth, you're with Jess Strutt, and we're having a look at a chaplaincy in our schools. You've been a chaplain, as I mentioned earlier, Andrew, for almost two decades. How have you seen, I know I keep reminding you of that, and is it making you feel old? I hope not. How have you seen chaplaincy change or evolve over, you know, two whole decades doing it?
I think the main changes have been, I guess, the increased requirements and training that chaplains have had to go through, and especially with the you know, the prevalence and more knowledge around mental health, where when I started, that was a thing that was only dealt with, you know, outside psychologists. But of course, you know, every school have fantastic school psychs within there. And for chaplains, we have to work very closely in consultation with school psychs, who are the, you know, the gatekeepers of mental health in schools, and do a fantastic job. But their job is, you know, they do great clinical work, whereas chaplains are more relational and pastoral care, where we work, you know, in tandem with psychs.
Andrew Winter, before I let you go, I can tell you love your job. What do you love most about your job as a chaplain?
Working with young people, working in schools, there's just an energy that really energises you, and I've always enjoyed the flexibility of the job. You know, it just keeps me young, and it's just how I was raised, and I just love it to bits.
Andrew Winton, thank you so much for your time. He is the Churchland Senior High School chaplain, and we wish him all the best for the rest of his long service. They're very kind of him to give up some time during that break.
The conversation continues with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
And Mandy Sheen is with me, psychologist and teacher working in the School of Education at Edith Cowan University. She has worked as a primary school teacher, a school chaplain, a school psychologist, and a children's pastor. So she's done all of the different roles. Jane Carrow is also with us, the ambassador at the National Secular Lobby, also an author and documentary maker. And if you just joined us, we have been talking this morning about an allocation in the federal budget, the recent budget, $60 million over 4 years to the National School Chaplaincy Program. Is that where the money's needed? You know, this is it's a divisive issue. Some people are not keen to have chaplains in schools. Others think that they're a great support, and supporting particularly school psychologists. So that's what we're unpacking today on Focus. Keep your texts coming, 0437922720, and I'll go to a few of those shortly. Jane Carrow, I'm wondering, what model would you like to see of support for school students? So we can't have all school psychologists. It's too expensive if we didn't have chaplains.
First of all, why is it always too expensive for public schools to have the best? It's always taught as an excuse. It's not too expensive. We should have what is needed to support the children. I think we should have school psychologists, school counsellors, and also youth workers, properly trained and qualified, who can do all of that work, both for students and teachers. And I think when we talk about things being too expensive, exclusively for public schools that educate 70% of Australia's children, we need to have a really hard look at why we assume that expense is something we shouldn't give to kids in public schools.
Jane Carrow, that line is pretty bad. So I don't know if you need to bring the grandkids back in, because they're screaming in the background, seem to have a good line for us. I think have a little move towards back
the
towards the grandchildren.
Seems to have calmed down.
Okay, that's a little better.
Down,
so basically, sorry. For you okay, think there's a number of other people who could step in and do that role. I mean, the reality is, would we be able to find those people?
Yes, of course. There's plenty of those trained people, and I don't mind what their personal beliefs are. My objection to this program, as most people who have an interest in secular schools is this insistence on them being religious in character. That is where we part company. Regardless of the good work some of them may do, this is not in keeping with a secular public school system.
Few of your texts coming through. We don't need chaplains in schools. I don't want people who believe in a mythical being talking to my kids, says one person on the text line. Michael says, thanks for the interesting conversation. Well, it is, isn't it? Mandy Sheen, psychologist and a teacher working with ECU, and Jane Carrow, ambassador at the National Secular Lobby. If you've missed any of this chat, you can go back afterwards. We put it up online, ABC Radio Perth for you on the website. Click on the Focus program. Michael goes on to say, my son had some significant problems while he was at high school. The psychologist was not available due to financial constraints, so he went to see the school chaplain. Chaplain asked him to kneel and pray and offered him a Bible, suggested he attend church. As an atheist parent, I was not impressed. It's not the role of schools to indoctrinate vulnerable children. Chaplains have no place in our state schools. The funding for chaplains is robbing funds that should be going to qualified psychologists. Thank you for that. On the other side, yes, as teachers, we have the relationship to speak to the children that need our support, and we do. But quite often, while trying to manage a whole class, we do not have the time to have those emotional support conversations at length. For the students that need that extra dedicated time, we need someone like a chaplain that can dedicate that time to the students. I'll get your response to that, Mandy, that I'm wondering the feed, you know, there's feedback there from a teacher. You've done every role. What is the feedback when you're in schools? Are teachers generally happy for any level of support, or do they generally have a preference for chaplains or school psychologists? Or does it, as you keep saying, depend on the issue that the kid's having?
Yeah, it would depend. So when I'm teaching, if a chaplain came into my room, they're not there to be an education assistant. They're there just to talk to the kids and to interact with them. So you get paid for the role that you're doing, and being pastoral care only liberates you just to do that role. And there's nothing else in a school that does that.
Someone texting in about Andrew Winton, who we spoke to, the school chaplain out at a school here in Perth, and said, Andrew is a very special person and the kids just relate to him and he to them brilliantly. I'm wondering, do you see that connection with the chaplain, Mandy, that ability to talk about things that you wouldn't take to a psychologist? Because as Andrew mentioned in that chat with me, he, you know, it's the school breakfast club, that sort of thing, where they're just having those informal chats. How important is that?
Yeah, well, they show that relationships take time to build in those informal chats. And, you know, they can set up those, again, the community for those things to happen, to build those relationships. And they've kind of just, as they walk through the school, they become a point of contact where a child could just have this informal conversation without making an appointment and formalising as a problem. But having a trusted adult that cares for you in your life is an integral part to resilience. And really important that even though the whole school will be doing that, that there's someone dedicated to that.
I might get your response there, Jane Caro. Have I still got you there, and is the line any clearer?
Let's hope so.
Yes, it's much better. It's much better.
Good. I'm glad. Look, it's lovely to have a trusted adult. No arguments with that. No arguments with any of this, except why is this program, and I keep saying the same thing over and over, about only religious people? That in a way gives the lie to the idea that it is about being just a trusted adult. If it was about being just a trusted adult, a listening ear, a kind person, someone who cared about young children, surely it could be anyone who was prepared to train and who was prepared to work in that situation, who was well-meaning and obviously had been checked out carefully, as everyone who works in a school should be. Why does it have to have a religious character? That is the only part of it which makes everyone think that there's some other agenda that people aren't owning up to. I'm not talking about Mandy and individual chaplains who may be indeed very, very honourable. But in terms of it being funded by particularly conservative governments in this way, they have a different agenda than simply offering students a listening ear and a caring adult.
Do you seriously think that do you seriously think, though, Jane Caro, that a non-conservative government would withdraw funding from this program?
Yes, we saw it with Julia Gillard's government. They didn't withdraw the funding. What they did was they took the requirement that the chaplains be of a religious background away, and they opened it up to secular workers as well. That's really all we need to do.
Jane Caro, thank you very much for that. And we got a text earlier. Now, let me just see if I can see Deb in Callaroo saying, there are no public schools I know where a chaplain would ask an adolescent or a child to knee and pray to God. And obviously you talk through what the rules are in relation to that. And that was obviously just someone texting in. That's what they claim happens to their son, Michael. And thanks for your text. If that came to the light of the school, would that particular chaplain, in your experience, be reprimanded, or would there be ramifications for that happening, I suppose?
Well, I'm not in school leadership, but I would definitely hope that that would be the end of their career. You know, when you're pushing, and I don't care whether you're an atheist or Muslim or Christian, if you're pushing your own agenda on children, you are wrong. And the idea of having a chaplain with religion isn't about to be religion. It should be just spiritual.
Look, we're going to have to wrap up that fascinating discussion. My big thanks to Mandy Sheen, psychologist and teacher working in the School of Education at Edith Cowan University. Also to Jane Caro. Hopefully she can get off now and go and play with those grandkids. Ambassador at the National Secular Lobby, author, documentary maker and social commentator.
This is Focus on ABC Radio Perth.